We begin the current Daf Masechta Yevamah is Daf Chavav. We begin on the second line of the Tab of the Amud, where the Gemara concludes this parak with the final Mishnah, which continues on the theme of the previous Mishnahs. As the Mishnah says, V'kulam, all these individuals, the sage regarding the neder the wife made, the one who brings the get from Medina Siyam, or the one that says testimony regarding the woman that lets her get married, which we said regarding all these individuals, we said, Lo Yichnais, it doesn't look appropriate if you had a hand in getting this woman divorced from her husband, and then you go ahead and marry her. It seems like that there was some ulterior motive in what you were doing. So therefore we said that lo yichnas. However, the Mishnah does say, all these men, shahoylehem nashim, if they had a wife at that time, which is, let's say, he brought the gift from the Inasiyam and he was married at the time, and then at a later point in time, their wife dies, then the Mishnah does say, mutaris lenaslehem, then these individuals are permitted to marry those women. Because in this case, there is no chashad, there's no suspicion, because at the time when the witness said the testimony, where he said that I saw that the husband was dead, or when the sage found no opening for the nedu that she had made, his wife is still alive. Therefore, his intention wasn't about marrying that woman, because although in the times of the Gemara, they would marry two wives, but again, that's not such a suspicion, it wasn't such a common thing, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say that that was on his mind, and therefore there the suspicion would not be, and therefore those cases, they would be able to go ahead and marry them. So too, Bukulon, regarding all these women, Shenisu la'acherim, if they, after the sage said, there's no way for me to permit the neder that you have of forbidding all pleasure from your husband. Or when the witness said testimony, says, look, I see your husband was dead, and she found out, and she got ahead, and she married someone else. Then this woman got divorced or became a widow from the second husband that had married her. Then also mutaris lenaslam, then also she's permitted to get married to the sage, to the witness, to the one who brought the get. Again, because here it doesn't look like that was his ulterior motive, because he didn't go ahead and pursue her and marry her. She married someone else. And then she got divorced, or she got widowed from that person. Then the suspicion is not so great. And again, these individuals, although they had a hand in her first divorce from her first husband or getting remarried, that was before the second husband, they can marry her. Now, moreover, Vakulan, regarding all these women, so we said they're forbidden to the man that had a role in getting her permitted to marry out, but mutaris libnehem oilachem, although they're forbidden to that individual, they're permitted to the sons or the brothers of these who permitted them to get married to someone else, and they're only forbidden to those individuals themselves. Now, the Gemara makes an inference from the first case of the Mishnah that it said that Mesui, if these people's wives who were alive at the time, then later on they died, then it sounds like, yes, then they could go ahead and marry those women, because we don't suspect that they were doing it for the interest, because they were eyeing this woman and say, oh, let's get a find a way to get her out of her husband that we can marry them, because they were married already. And only later the wife died, so then they can marry them. But it sounds like Nizkar Shulai. But if they divorced their wife, they mean they were married, but then they divorced, then it seems like actually that no, he was eyeing this woman. He wanted her out of her husband. And so therefore he got her permitted. And then he divorces his wife. And now he's free, he's single, and he could go ahead and marry her. Therefore, that type of a case, even though he was married at the time, this woman would still be forbidden to him. Now, that the Gemara asks, but only Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, what time we learn the Brisa that says, Afil in this garshu, that even if he later divorces his wife, but since at the time he was married, we don't suspect that he was having a hand in her getting removed from her husband so that he can marry her. And that seems to be contradicting our Mishnah, which sounds like only if their wife dies, but that if he divorces, then it sounds like that, wait a second, he had a hand, he divorces his wife, and then he marries her. So that thing says loy kasha. It's not a contradiction. Because this that we learned in the Braise, so that even if he divorces his wife, he could still marry this woman. That's talking about, in such a case, the havya katata, where he had a long-standing fight with his wife, even before this woman even came onto the picture. And therefore, as long as he was married, it doesn't look so bad that then he went and divorced her, because anyways, they were fighting before this woman. But our Mishnah that said that if he divorced her, and then you married that woman, that seems like almost adding to the evidence that there was a reason why you were doing this, that you made her forbidden to the husband, or that she was removed, that you said the husband's done. Then the loy havi katata, that was talking about where there was no previous fight before. And then why are you divorcing? So again, that's substantiating this suspicion that you had an ulterior motive for getting this woman removed from her husband, that you could go ahead and marry her. And that's why in such a case, only if Mace, if the wife dies, then there's no reason to suspect. But if he divorces, then it's still going to be forbidden for him to marry that woman. That's one approach in the Gemara. Viba is saying, more if you want, you could say actually the Havahad Lahavikatata. Both the Mishnah and the Brisa are talking about that there was no previous known fight between them. But Vavalei Kasha is still not a contradiction. Because Ha, this that we learned in our Mishnah, that if she gets divorced from this man, then he cannot marry that woman, that's the Argel Hu, where he started the fight. Then is where we say that if he's starting to start the fight, well, must be because he first wanted to get this woman permitted, then he'll find a way to get out of his marriage. But Ha, this that we learned in the Brisa, that even if he gets divorced, he can still go ahead and marry that woman, is the Argilahi, where his wife started the fight. There's no suspicion to say that it was his fault. It's almost similar to when she dies. Here she's starting the divorce process. She started fighting. And the same as when she dies, where there's no reason to suspect that he had that ulterior motive when he was making that woman permitted to marry other people. And therefore, that resolves the contradiction why in the Brisa it would be permitted, even if it's Niskarsha. Now, the Mishnah also said, "Bekulan shenisu v'chulu," regarding all these forbidden relationships, because we're concerned of that suspicion. But if the woman in the interim went and married someone else, and then they got divorced or became widowed from that second person, then we said, Mutaris, then there was original people that permitted them to marry other people, couldn't then go ahead and marry them. Now, the Gemara says that Kasalka Daitach, the Gemara's assumption was that Misa, this that we learned in the Mishnah that said, Bekulon Shenisu L'Acherim, and all these women that, let's say the one that had the testimony from the man that her husband was dead, or that the Chacham said that she's not, her neder is not permitted and she had to leave her husband. So this that they went and married other people, and then their husbands died, and then they're permitted to the original person, the Gemara assumed that was going back on the previous Mishnayos, meaning even on the case of Amisa, where we learned in the previous Mishnah that if, let's say, the aide is saying, oh, I saw your husband was dead, or I murdered him, or we were there when he was murdered, that it said within the Mishnah that he shouldn't marry that woman. Now, it sounds like from our Mishnah that our Mishnah is going back on that and says that if she went and got married to someone else based on his testimony, and because he can't marry her, and then the second person dies, because that's the case we're talking about, they marry others, and then this almanu, so then we're saying that then she's permitted to now go back to the first guy who said the testimony to marry him, even though there are two of her husbands that died while she's still alive. We're saying so now she can marry a third person. And we don't say that she has what's called a chazaka. She has an established criterion that she's a murderer, meaning not an active one, but a passive one, meaning that whoever marries her dies. Moreover, the case of v'gerishin, where it says in the previous Mishnah regarding someone that's maybe get, if he brings the get, and he says b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam, he's believed to make her permitted, but he cannot marry her, where we learn over there that so other people can marry this woman with the get, which means to say that it was a case of divorce, she's divorced from one husband. Now in our Mishnah we say, then so it says that over there that she can marry someone else. The Gemara assumes it's going on a gerishin, meaning on the case of our Mishnah, where it says that is it talking about a case of the second husband that she was in the nisgarshu from. Now, on that, the Gemara wants to say, Sinema masnitin de leker Rebbe. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, because the Iker Rebbe, Ha'amar, betrays Zimni Havachazaka. Rebbe holds that in the Chazaka, an established Kavias is made with just two times. That's the Gemara later on, Perkabal Yevimta, Dav Samach Dalma Bey says that let's say a woman was married to one person and he died. She was married to a second person and he died. Now, Rebbe says she's not allowed to marry a third person. Now, it must be that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, because it was like Rebbe. So although you're right, there's no suspicion over here, because in the interim she married someone else, so we're not going to think that, you know, he didn't pursue her right away when she was permitted. But the problem is that according to Rebbe, she should be forbidden for everybody, let alone for this guy, because she created a chazaka that she either makes herself an almana, I mean that she kills her husband, or that she gets divorced, which according to Rebbe would not allow her to get married to anyone else. I think where it says, no, it could even be like Rebbe. Because Misa, the case of where the second husband dies, as mentioned in our Mishnah, that she married someone else and they died and then she could go back to the first person that permitted her, it's not going back on all the cases. Actually, it's going back on Gerishin. It's going on the case of Hamevi Get, or let's say on the case of the Chacham that said that we don't have a way for you to stay married because I can't find a heter for you, where then she goes ahead and marries other people. That case of Misa over here is going on the case of Gerishin. And the Gerish, in the case over here where the second husband divorced her, that's going back on Misa. That's going on the case where the witness says that he died, or I murdered him, or we found him murdered. And that's why when she gets divorced from this second guy, she's permitted to the third guy, because, again, in both cases, there was never a reyesa, never created this faulty chazaka of two times, because although it's talking about the second person divorced her or she was widowed from him, it's only going back on the other case. Divorce is not going on divorce, and death is not going on the case of death. So although previous Mishnah has had cases of where one bring a get and one is saying that the husband died, that must mean that the Mishnah over here is talking about that although they can't marry that guy, and there's a second guy, and then after the second guy either dies or gets divorced, then you can go back to the one that made you have to marry other people. That's only the case of death over here is going back on the maybe get, and the Gerishin over here is going back in the case of Misa, and therefore there was only one of each, so therefore even according to Rebbe, there was no Chazaga that was established, and he could be the Tana of our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah also said that Bekulon, regarding all these women, Mutaris Libnei Merlachem, they're permitted to the sons of these people, or to the brothers of these people, so though for them themselves were concerned that maybe he's doing something that's permitting the woman because he wants to marry her, and there's an element of chashad, but we're not chashad that he's doing it so that it should be permitted for his son or his brother, and therefore they are permitted to the brothers or the sons. Now that the Gemara asks, Maishna Ma'aditnan, why is it any different from this that we learned in the Braisa? That says, Hanita min ho'isha. If there's some rumors about this man and this woman, so the Braisa says, Asa bi'ima ubebita ubachaisa. So he's forbidden in this woman's mother. He can't marry her, can't marry her daughter, neither can he marry her sister. And that is, as the Gemara later on explains this, the reason is because maybe if he's going to marry the mother or the daughter, then maybe when he's married to them, so he's going to be seeing this woman because it's his relative of his now wife, and he's going to be mezana with her, he's going to have more relationships because she's always going to be around. Now, as Rashi explains, based on the fact that he already possibly had an illicit relationship, that wouldn't make him forbidden in the mother or the other relatives. As the Gemara says later on, Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, that one is allowed to marry the relative of a woman that he had a forceful relationship or that he seduced her, because the only relationships that become forbidden through a wife is only those that come through a marriage, through kedushin, where it says ishus, as it says a lashon of kicha, which always connotes marriage, kikach ishus isha ves ima, that's a problem. You can't have a woman and her mother. But the case that we're concerned for is that because if he marries the mother or the daughter, then this woman that there's suspicion that they had an illicit relationship, she might be around, and then it's going to be a punishment of curse, because then she's going to be the daughter of his current wife if, let's say, he marries the mother. So there's the concern of znus. So therefore, here also, the question the Gemara is asking is, why is this suspected woman over here? Meaning we're concerned that this man is going to want to have a relationship with her, and that's why he's making her permitted to other people. Why do we let her marry his son? We should be concerned that maybe actually they were in cahoots, whereas that she wants to be able to marry him and he wants to be able to marry her, but she's married. So he finds some way to say this testimony or to do something to get her freed. And then he has her marry his son because they both know that Bezin's not going to let them get married. Then she's always going to be around, and they're going to be able to have their illicit relationship. So just like we're concerned about not marrying the woman that suspected her relatives, how do we let this woman marry his relatives? So I think Gemara gives two answers. Nashi legabi nashi shchichin d'azlan. Women are into relationships. They're always around their relatives. Gavri legabi gavri le shchichin. But men don't visit men that often. So therefore, this man that had a suspected relationship with this woman, he can marry her relatives because he's always going to meet her then, because the women hang around each other. But the other way around, like the case of our Mishnah, where this man said testimony, he wanted to get her free, and if it marries his son, it's okay because the son, there's only that many times he's going to see his father. Men don't hang around that much, and therefore she will never be that much in his presence, and therefore we don't have to be concerned with that. That's one answer in the Gemara. Inami, another approach is, Nashe, regarding women, the relationships of znus, of the relative, does not make it forbidden ahadodi, one on the other, meaning on this other woman will not make it forbidden if her husband has a relationship with that woman on the true wife. So therefore, loikapti ahadodi, they're not going to be concerned one about the other. In other words, the wife will stay silent. And because the husband doesn't become forbidden to her. So let's say there's a woman where possibly there's a relationship. So then we have a case where if this man goes ahead and marries the mother, Now, the wife is the mother. The daughter is possibly, there's still something going on that's an illicit relationship. The mother won't say anything. And the reason is because her husband is still permitted to her. A man that's mezana remains permitted to the mother. Now, therefore, in such a case, we're concerned because it's very likely what's going to be happening is something very inappropriate that makes isurim over here. And because of that possibility that they're not particular because I'm still not losing my husband, I'm still able to hold on to him. So then we're going to make an isra of you can't marry any of her relatives because something will still be going on and the wife's not going to protest. But Gavri, the astrin shchivas nadodi, but regarding one man that will have a relationship with this other man's wife, where if there is a case of znus, then the wife becomes forbidden to her husband, then for sure the husband will be particular, and he's going to make sure that his wife does not come close to this man. And therefore, let's say in the case of our Mishnah, where the man wanted this woman, so he found a way for her to be married. It's okay for the son to marry that woman, because even if, let's say, we said that men are around each other, he's going to make sure that his wife is not mezana. And the reason is because if she is mezana with his father, then she's forbidden to him, and there's nothing to do about it. But and so therefore, we don't have to be concerned. We don't have to say that he can't get married to her, because he'll make sure. But in the case of women, we say they can't get married, because they're not going to make sure. Because either way, that even if he's having this relationship with her, I still have him too. And even if it's found out, it's not going to make a difference. He doesn't become forbidden to me. It's only the other way that the woman who had a illicit relationship while married, she becomes forbidden. And that's why by Gavri, that they're makbid, we don't have to be makbid, and therefore they can go ahead and marry. But in the case of women, that they won't be, we have to make sure that such a relationship doesn't happen. Now, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, that by men, we're not concerned for znus. We're not concerned that his relative, that's the suspected individual, will have relations with his wife. Then the question is, then aviv, then even for this person that permitted this woman to marry out, either he's the aid, or he brought the get, or he wasn't matter the neder. So then even his father, Nami, should also be permitted to go ahead and marry this woman. So the question the Gemara is asking, and why in our mission does it say that all these women are mutaris lebneihem ulacheihem? Why doesn't it say also their father? If it doesn't make a difference who the man is, they're going to make sure to stay away, and it's not going to create a problematic relationship. So the Gemara says, you're right. We didn't have to say the case of the father. We didn't have to say the father of the one who is permitting this woman, that of course he could marry her, and that is there for sure we're not concerned that this one who permitted her will be mezana with who his father ended up marrying. Because the bus is bonei minei. His son would be embarrassed from his father, and he has the fear of his father to have an illicit relationship with his father's wife. That for sure we're not. Al benoi delay buzzes of minei emaloi. But regarding if it's his son, he permits the woman, he wants her. Now, Bez is not going to let. So he has his son marry her. So his son, that he's not so embarrassed from, all his life he's been pushing his son around, now he'll go and be mezana with his son's wife. And that is what maybe there we would be concerned. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah that says no. No husband is letting his wife have an illicit relationship with another man because very easily it could be found out and then it's over. She cannot stay married to him, and therefore we're not concerned for those marriages. Again, in contrast to women, where they could stay married even though the husband is mezana. So therefore we say that you can't marry any of her relatives because then, like the first terz of the Gemara, then they're going to be around. Or like we said in the second terz of the Gemara, where then since they wouldn't be particular, we have to make sure that such a situation will not come up. Hanulach Keitzad Eshes Achav, we shall return to you the second parak Mesach Zivamis, parak Keitzad Eshes Achav. And with that we begin the third parak Mesach Zivamis, parak Arba Achav. Now this Mishnah was mentioned a few times in the previous parakim, and this is the Mishnah begins with a specific type of a case, which introduces one of the topics of Zika, that of Achesuk Ukasle. So the case conceptualization of the Mishnah is as follows. You have Arba Achav, if you have four brothers, Shnai Mehem Nisuin Shtei Achayis. Two of the brothers are married to two sisters. Now, the two brothers who were married to the two sisters died without any children. So the Mishnah says, Hare elu chelces v'le misyabmes. These two women have to have chalitza done to them and not yibum. And that is, as the Gemara will explain, the reason is because of the concept known as zika, there's a bond. Now, since each one of these possible yavamas are zokuk, there's a bond connecting them to the two brothers that are there to be possible yavamen. So each one is going to make a problem of ever doing yibum to the other one. Because let's say you want to do yibum to one, you can't. because she's the achais, she's the sister of Zikukasa, because the other one is Zakuk. So since a Zika is like a quasi type of a marriage, it's like almost like achais isha. Now you can't marry achais isha. So each one is, you can't do yibim to because she's the sister of the other Zakuk, so you can't do yibim, but again you have to chalitza because it's still not a achais isha, it's not like an erva which is totally exempted, it's only a rabbinic halacha, so it requires chalitza and not yibim. Now, v'mkad v'mkan, so yaitzu, and even if they went and they said, okay, you know what, you do yibim tahar, I'll do yibim tahar, and they go ahead and they marry, you still have to remove them. As Gemara will explain, there is an element of Zika over here, which once that Isser of Zika creates a Chesuk Kasai, so that's like a Eshes Achshesh Lebanim, and that's forbidden forever. You can't go ahead, even if later on, let's say, one neutralizes one of the women, and now there's only one left, and there's no more Chesuk Kasai, since at one moment there was a Chesuk Kasai, it's forbidden forever. Now, Rabbi Lazar, he says, actually, it's a Machlekes. He says, Bishame Eim Mikayim. Bishame say you could maintain the marriage. Bishame say, as the Tanakhama said, that no, you have to go ahead and remove them. You can't stay married to them. Now, however, the Mishnah says, Ha'isa'achas mehen asura ala echad iser ervu. So there is these two sisters. They married two brothers, and both of those brothers died. Let's say one of the women, one of the sisters, was an erva to one of the remaining brothers. For example, let's say it was his wife's mother, so that makes it his mother-in-law, or his mother-in-law's mother. So then the Mishnah says, Asr ba, so he's forbidden to her, and actually, not only is she forbidden to her, she's forbidden to him, but she actually doesn't even fall to him, as we said in the beginning of the Masechet Dav Beis, she's an erva. And therefore, actually, Mutab HaChais is actually permitted to do Yibim to the other sister. Because she, this other woman, is not a Chesik HaKasai, because as we said, the Erva doesn't even fall for Yibim. So there's no Zika from her. So there's just one that's falling for him. He could do Yibim. But Vashen, also Bishtein, the other brother is forbidden in both of them. He would have to Chalitza, because for him, both of them are regularly legitimate Yavamis, and that would make each one a Chesik HaKasai. Now the Mishnah continues, if it's somewhere in the middle, if it's, let's say, Isser Mitzvah, which those are like the rabbinic shniyos, which are only secondary rais, only midrabanan, or the Isser Kedusha, or they're like a Isser of Leisaseh, for example, if it's a Mamzeres or a Nesina, which there's a negative prohibition, where there, actually, biblically, there is a Mitzvah of Yibam. Now, therefore, you will be forbidden to marry, to do Yibam to either one of the sisters, because it's still going to be a Chesuk HaKasai. But however, you can't really do Yibam because there's still a negative prohibition to do Yibam, so it has to be somewhere in the middle, Chalitza v'lemis abemis. You do Chalitza and not Yibam. Now, the Mishnah says, which is one of the cases that we mentioned in the beginning, in the first parak, Ha'isa'achas men asura al zeh isa erva. So we have two remaining brothers. Let's say one of the women is an erva to one of the brothers. And actually, v'hashniya, the other one, the second one, is asura al zeh isa erva, is actually forbidden to the other one isa erva. Where, as the Gemara in the first parak had said, that this is the case where possibly you could have all the arayas in the first Mishnah regarding those 15 women, you could find, except possibly with some exceptions, that for one of them it's going to be his mother-in-law, the other one's going to be his mother-in-law, or one is going to be his daughter, the other one's going to be his daughter. So then we say, Hasru lazeh muteres lazeh. The one that's forbidden to this one is actually permitted to this one. And Vasru Lazem, Teres Lazem, what's forbidden for this one is permitted to this one. In other words, each one only has one Yavama falling to him. Because each one has the other one as an Ervatim. So each one could do Yibim to one, and the other one could do Yibim to the other. Because each one's not having a case of a Chesuk HaKasai. And that's what the Mishnah concludes. Bezuhi Sha'amr, this is what they had said as a statement, that this is a case of a Chesuk, where you have the sister of an Erva, Kishahi Yavimta, which that means to say that when she's her sister-in-law, meaning she's the wife of her husband's brother, meaning, and when it means yafimta, meaning that she's falling for yibim at the same time, that that could be a case where you could do to her either chalitza or yibim, because as we explained, she's not a, neither one is a chesuk akasai to either one of the yavamin, because the erva one is not falling for him, and each one has the other one as an erva, so each one could do with the other one yibim or chalitza. Now the Gemara says, Shemami no, what we can infer from a Mishnah is that there is a halacha of what's called Yesh Zika. What that means is that this bond that's created from Shemayim, that when this husband, this brother dies without any children, that his wife, in regarding the halachas of Yibam, is almost like that there's a bond, almost like some type of a quasi-marriage between her and the Yavam. And how do we see that from our Mishnah? Because we see that there's an element of a Mishnah of what's called Achay Zikukasai, that you're not allowed to go ahead and do Yibim to either one, because when you're going to do Yibam, it's going to be the sister of the one that's sucking to you, which, what's the problem of Chesed Kakasai? Obviously, because it's like a quasi Achayis Ishte, which is one of the Arayas. Now, actually, in Masechet Nedarim of Ayin Dalmat Alv, there's a Machlekes there in the Gemara. There is an opinion that says that a Zekuka is like a wife, which has relevance regarding, let's say, being made for her neder, to annul her neder, which you can only do that for a wife. There is an opinion over there that says Ein Zika. Now, similarly, we had this Machlekes previously in Daf Yud Zayin Mabez, where this was a Machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda regarding the relationships of this Zekuka. If she dies, what's the halacha? Can you marry the mother afterwards or not? So from our Mishnah, you see that, like those who say that yes, Zika. And the reason is, because D'i ain't Zika, if you would say that there's no bond, it doesn't create some type of a relationship, like somewhat of a quasi-marriage. So Mechti, let's see. Hani mitrei batikasin. What's going on over here? These two women are coming from two different brothers, two different batim, we call it, because the Pasuk calls it bias, that you build the house. So what's the problem? Hayli amchado, let one brother do yim to one of them. Hayli amchado, let the other one do yim to the other one. There's no zika. There's no like as if she's married to me. So what's the problem? I could do yim to her. I'm not getting in the way of anything of it. She's not my wife. So this is not a chizuk kasei. And he does yim to the other one. So the Gemara says no. It's not a raya. It could be you could say lo olam im locha in zika. I'll tell you that there is no bond of relationship here from the yavam to the yavama. But the reason why our Mishnah says that both have to do chalitza is because Mishum Niksavar Aslavat Mitzvah Yavman. The Mandama who says Ein Zika holds, you're not allowed to do something that can create an element that by default you're not going to be able to fulfill any part of the Mitzvah of Yibam. Meaning there's a bond over here. The bond of Zika says you have to do either Yibam or Chalitza. Now, although it's saying Ein Zika, but there's a Mitzvah over here. You cannot do something which will then say, oh, it doesn't apply anymore. And why is that a concern over here? Because if we allow you to do yibam to this one, and the other brother does to the other one, maybe in the interim, if one brother goes ahead and does yibam to one, maybe the other brother is going to die in the interim. Now, if that happens, that makes the other woman fall for him, but what will happen then is that by default, she'll be removed from the whole mitzvah of yibam. It'll be a bittul of that mitzvah, and you won't be able to do chalitza or yibam because she'll be achos ishta. You would have already married her sister. And that's going to be nullifying the mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, we tell both of them, look, you both do chalitza. Therefore, even if one does chalitza and in the interim the other brother dies, that's not a problem because he can then go ahead and do chalitza to the other one. The only problem would be if he does Yibum, then she becomes his wife. Then now the other one becomes a chayis ishta, and now she falls in front of him because the other brother died. That will be a bitla mitzvah yavman. So the Gemara asked, but still, ihachi, if the Mishnah was really holding Ein Zika, then Tlasanami, the case of the Mishnah shouldn't be talking about necessarily four brothers. It should be even talking about with three brothers, as Rashi explains. In other words, if we held that Yesh Zika, so the Mishnah is telling us a big chiddush. It's telling us that although there's two remaining brothers, because there were four brothers, and the two that married the sisters died. Now, if there's two remaining brothers, you would think it's not such a strong Zika that it makes, like, as if there's a relationship with the Yavam, because we could say, wait a second, how do you know she's Zakuk to me? You know, I have another brother too. So you can't say both are married to me. So you'd say that one's married to me, so to speak, and one's married to him. Yet in spite of that, still the Mishnah is telling us that no, even when there's two remaining brothers, we still consider each one as a zakuk to this one, making the other one a chesuk kasei, so they're both forbidden. Now, definitely it would be a problem when there would be only three brothers, where two of them would marry two sisters, and then they both died, and then they fall in front of this third guy that for sure both are going to be aser, because each one is, he's the only yavam around, so of course they're a chesuk kasei. If he's going to marry one, it's going to be a prohibition of a chesuk kasei. But if you're saying ein zika, and the whole problem is because maybe it's going to be vatal mitzvah yavman, well then you could say it much clearer. It would be so much neater if you said it with three brothers, and then the two that married sisters died. That, the Mishnah is saying, that both have to have chalitza done, because if it does yim to one of them, then the other one will just by default be removed. So why say in a case of four, which is more complicated, which doesn't add to the chiddush of the din that you're saying, which could have been so much simpler if it was with three brothers? So the Gemara says, you're right, but lay me bay kamina. We're saying an element of that we didn't have to say. In other words, lay me bay tlasa, of course that it would be much neater and the simple logic of the halacha would come across with three brothers. The vade batl mitzvah yabim, where there for sure you're going to be nullifying mitzvah yibim if you do yibim to one and then she becomes a chayis ishta. So the other one is out of the picture. Now that's a problem because we want to fulfill it in some way, either with yibim or chalitza. Aval dala, the reason why we told you with four brothers is because lamisa loy chashin, and you would say, wait a second, you know, there's not going to be necessarily Bittul Mitzvah Yavam over here. There's two Yavamas, there's two brothers. If I do Yibam to her, she's not going to be totally cut out of the picture. Yes, I won't be able to do because she'll be a Chesishte, but there's another brother. He can go ahead and do Yibam. And therefore, and what you're going to say, that maybe when I do Yibam, then 5 minutes later when he's about to do Yibam, maybe he's going to die. We're not concerned for death. That is what the Mishnah, Kamash Malan, that we are concerned for death. That's how far we go. That we're concerned about Mitl Mitzvah Yavman, that we don't let you do Yibam, because maybe even though if your brother would do it, it would fulfill the Mitzvah Yibam, but he might die in the interim, and that's why you can't do Yibam, and both have to do Chalitza. Now, the Gemara asks, Ihach, if that's the case, then Chamishanami. Then why stop at four? Go to five brothers. Say there's two brothers that married two sisters, and both of those died. Three brothers remain. Maybe even there, all have to do chalitza. Why? Because maybe if one of them is going to do yibum, maybe in interim, both other remaining brothers are going to die, and then it's going to be bittul mitzvah yavman. Why do you say only with four brothers? So I think Maran says, no, lemisa de treilech hashen. To suspect a death of two people, that we're not concerned for. One person dying is a possibility, and therefore we say you have to do chalitza. But if there's five brothers, actually the halacha would be that we wouldn't be concerned, and then they would be able to do yibum. Now, Amar Rav Bar Avuhna, Amar Rav. He says, which is regarding this case of five brothers, he says as follows. Shalosh achayis yavamis. If there's three sisters that are yavamis, meaning they're sister-in-laws, and where all three of those husbands, which were married to the sisters, all of them died. Now, shenaf lifnei shnei achin yavamin. Now, there's those three brothers died, who were married to three sisters, so they're all sister-in-laws. They're yavamis, meaning they're falling to Yibam at the same time. They fall in front of two remaining brothers that are eligible to be a yavam. So that Rav says as follows. He says, Zechoy litzla'achas, one of the remaining brothers does chalitza to one of them. Bezechoy litzla'achas, and one does chalitza to the other one. Now, v'mtzayis, the middle one, just means the third one. Tzricha chalitza mishneh. Rav says, she needs to have chalitza done to her by both of the brothers, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Now, so Amalei Rabba said to the one who was saying over this halacha of Rav, says, "Midika amrit emtzois tzricha chalitza mishneh." From the fact that you said that the third one needs to have chalitza done from both of them, obviously kesavad yerzika. Obviously, you held that of the opinion that says that there is a bond, meaning that the bond of zika is so strong that it goes on to both of the remaining yavamim, and hence the havila. Now, that would make it that this chalitza, by default, is a chalitza psula. In other words, it's a deficient type of chalitza. Now, what makes it a deficient chalitza, meaning for this third woman? Because if either one wanted to yibam, they wouldn't be able to, because this third woman is, for both of them, an achayis chalutzasa, because each one did chalitza to one of the other's sisters. So that would make this woman achayis chalutzasa, which is rabbinically prohibited, to marry. Therefore, it's obviously not such a great chalitza, because chalitza is only if you could have done yibum and you don't want to do it, then you do chalitza, but you couldn't have done yibum. So it's a chalitza psula. And a chalitza psula, tzarech lachzor kol achin, a deficient chalitza has to be undone by all the brothers. In other words, halacha is that one brother cannot remove the zika with his own deficient chalitza, because zika is a strong bond. It's yesh zika, and it's on both brothers. Now, if it's a strong chalitza, meaning it could have done yibum, so by doing chalitza, you go ahead and remove it from all the brothers. But since you hold it yesh zika, and which makes it that there was a strong bond, hence that makes harachis kukasai. So both these brothers did chalitza to either one of the first two. Now the third one is going to be deficient. And moreover, the deficiency is a problem, because since you hold that yeshika is a strong bond, meaning that it's on both remaining brothers, by one of them doing a deficient chalitza, that will not take care of the chalitza for the zika of the other one, and he's going to have to do his own chalitza, and that's why the third remaining sister-in-law is going to have chalitza from both remaining brothers. Now, Rabbi says that's obviously what Rav held. So then he comes to his question. If that's the case, then Kamaisa, the first two sisters also, Nami, should also require chalitza from every one of those two brothers for both of them. And the reason is because they're also not chalitza ma'alya, not a great chalitza. And the reason is because if you had wanted to do yibim to those first two also, you also couldn't have done it, because you obviously hold, as I just proved, yashika. If you hold yashika, then they're achayza kukasai. You can't do yibim to achayis kukasai, as we just illustrated in the halacha of our Mishnah. So I don't understand. I get that you're trying to say the third woman is going to be requiring chalitza from each one, because Yesh Zika says that the Zika is on both of them. Now, if there's a Zika on both of them and you're doing a deficient chalitza, that could work for you. Meaning your deficient Zika with on this third one can work with your deficient chalitza, but it can't help for his Zika. But if that's the case, that you hold Yesh Zika, well then how could you have said that the first two only need chalitza from each brother, meaning one for each, it should require from both of them. Because each one's Zika will be having a deficient chalitza, removing it, because you can't do Yibam. If it's a deficient chalitza, if you hold Yesh Zika, it should require each brother doing a chalitza on each one. So all three sisters should be required to have chalitza from both brothers. Now the Gemara answers, you're right. If they all fell at the same time, in other words, all three husbands are dead and none of them had chalitza done. Now, if they're all coming to do chalitza to these three women, where no one did chalitza yet before the second brother and the third brother died, then actually that is the halacha. All the brothers are actually going to have to do chalitza to all the sisters, as you just pointed out, because it's a deficient chalitza, because you can't do yibum. And Yesh Zika says that the Zika is on all of them, and a deficient chalitza cannot take care of the other one Zika. However, Leitzricha, we had to say the case that we're talking about, that Rav is talking about, is Denafel Bezuachazu. We're talking about that the brothers didn't die at the same time. It was consecutive. After the first one had chalitza, then the other brother died. So it goes as follows. Nafla chado, when one of the brothers dies, so one of the sisters, who's also a sister-in-law, falls. So chalsa Reuben, then the first brother goes and he does chalitza. Now that's not a chalitza pesula. It's not a deficient chalitza. It's a full-fledged chalitza, because if he wanted to, he could have done yibum, because there's no chalitza kukaza, there's no problem. Nafla idach, then when the other brother dies, and then the second sister falls, Nechaltz LaShimon. Shimon does chalitza. And that's also a chalitza k'sheira, because if he wanted, he also could have done yibum. Because that's not a chalitza k'kase, because Reuven already did chalitza to the sister before this lady ever fell. So there was never an element of a chalitza k'kase. So again, Reuven's chalitza worked for all the brothers, because it was a chalitza k'sheira. Shimon's chalitza also works. Now, nafli idach, but now when the third one falls, the third brother dies, and now there's the third sister. Here, no one could have done yibum if they wanted to, because for both remaining brothers, this woman is achayis chalutzasai. Now, you also can't remove her with nothing, meaning to say, okay, so we're not going to look at you, because the halacha of achayis chalutza is only a rabbinic law, as the Gemara says later on, hachilz naf memamaral and memamabeis, and therefore, chalutz lahai, he does his own chalitza, which again we said is not a great chalitza, it's deficient, because if he wanted to, he could not have done yibum. Now, however, his chalitza still matches up to, which is a removal, matches up to the zika, to the bond that it is that he's removing, because they're both deficient. Now, therefore, he goes ahead and he does chalitza, which is mafka zikasa, it removes his zika with the chalitza he's doing. Chalz lahai, mafka zikasa. Then this other brother goes and he does chalitza, which removes his zika, and therefore it's not a question, because you're right, if it happened at the same time, Yesh Zika would mandate that since every brother has Zika and it's a deficient chalitza, everyone's deficient chalitza could take care of their own deficient Zika. But here that we said that the first two, each one brother does, and the third one only requires both brothers, it's told me that it happened one after the other. Now the Gemara asks, this halacha was in the name of Rav, but Vahama Rav ain't Zika. Rav is already on record in the Yudzayin Beis, as we said from Rav Huna, the name of Rav, that he holds that there's no Zika, meaning Rav said that a Shemeris Yavim that died, meaning a woman that was waiting for her Yavim to either do Yibam or Chalitza, and she died then in that process without having that Zika been removed with either Yibam or Chalitza. So Rav is on record by saying that still this Yavim is permitted to marry the mother of this Yavam. So obviously he holds that it's not like the mother of, because that Zika is still there. If you held your Zika, the mother is still forbidden after the death, because it's like the mother of your wife, your quasi-wife. He's on record by saying that you could marry the mother. And obviously, as the Gemara there explains, because of Ein Zika. So how could, as Rab inferred from Rav's halacha, say that there's Yesh Zika, and that's why you have this whole halacha that the third sister is going to require chalitza from both of them, if Rav's already on record saying Ein Zika? The Gemara concludes, you're right. However, l'divi ho'imer yesh zika kama. This halacha that we were saying over here on this daf was only Rav going according to the opinions that hold the Yashzika, then if there's this five brothers and three brothers married to three sisters and they die consecutively, then each one, Reuven could do to one, Shimon could do to the other, but then the third one that's remaining for them, which are both going to be problematic because they're Achayis Chalitzasai, then they both have to do Chalitza to both of them. But again, that's only because Rav is going according to Mandam Yashzika, but if he held Ein Zika, then the halacha would be different because then there is no such halacha of Chayisuk Kasa mandating this type of halacha, as we said, doing Chalitza for both of them to the third woman, because that's only going according to Mandam of Yashzika. Because actually, according to Rav's own opinion of Ein Zika, the third woman would not require, because there's no halacha concept of each one having Zika. Once one of them does chalitza, even though it's a chayis chalitzasa, it doesn't make a difference. One chalitza will remove this woman. We don't require each brother to do it. That would only go according to the mandama of Yesh Zika, who says each one has their own Zika, but Ein Zika holds there's no such a thing. Let one brother do this halacha of doing chalitza to this third woman.